Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is our saviour. Thank you that he loved us all the way to the cross. Thank you that he loves us tonight, just as we are, with all our faults and failings. Thank you, Father, that you see us just as righteous as Jesus, forgiven, welcome in your presence. Lord, we thank you. And we pray that as we study your word tonight, you will draw near to us and take us deeper into the truth of your word. Build us up, Lord, in our knowledge and love of you, because we want to be more like Jesus. So we pray in his name. Amen. Ron Wayne was one of the co-founders of Apple in 1976. He owned a 10% stake in the company. However, shortly after the foundation of the company, Wayne decided that it wasn't a good investment. He sold his 10% stake for $800. Today, if he'd kept that stake, he and it would be worth billions. At the time, Apple didn't seem that significant. Nobody expected it to grow into such a large company. And Jesus is saying to us in this parable of the mustard seed that his kingdom is like that. Jesus was born in obscurity. He lived in relative obscurity. He dies the death of a seemingly defeated man. And yet today, Christianity is the largest religion on the planet. In many respects, the growth of Jesus' kingdom is not like Apple. It's not a sexy product. It doesn't rely on cool marketing. It's not outwardly impressive. I've spent the last 20 years of my life in paid church ministry. Before that, I was very involved as a volunteer throughout my teenage years. I was very involved in the CU at university. I have spent hours and hours and hours in small Bible studies, meeting up with individuals, or just twos, perhaps. I've hardly ever been noticed by the media, and I'm sure you could say the same if you're involved in Christian work. And sometimes it seems very slow. Why don't more people become Christians? I don't feel like giving up, though. Don't know about you. Even when people give up on Christ, or my own heart is cold towards God, what keeps me going is the knowledge that God's kingdom is growing. I looked up the 10 countries where Christianity is growing fastest. Nepal is number one. Then China. Well, perhaps you've come to expect that. But then, Muslim countries, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman, Yemen. Who would have expected that in the Muslim world? And then it's Mongolia, Cambodia, and Bahrain. God's kingdom is growing dramatically. And sometimes we don't see that. Well, let's dig into this passage. It's got three headings. They're going to come up on the screen. The parable of the mustard seed, or the unexpected growth of the kingdom of God. The parable of the yeast, or the unexpected spread of the kingdom. And then the purpose of the parables, or God's control over history. Firstly then, the parable of the mustard seed, or the unexpected growth of the kingdom of God. Verse 31. He told them another parable. Remember that Jesus uses parables as a filter to reveal those who belong to him from those who don't. Those who are not part of his kingdom will be filtered out, whereas those who are genuine seekers after God will find God's truth in the parable. In verse 13, Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." So another way of putting it is that Jesus' parables are like a magnet. Where a magnet finds metal, the metal sticks to the magnet. When Jesus uses parables, those with eyes to see and ears to hear, those with faith, those with soft, teachable hearts, those who want God, they will stick to Jesus like iron filings sticking to a magnet. Verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, the only thing I know about a mustard seed is that it is minuscule. It is tiny. And yet, it grows into a big tree. A man took a mustard seed and planted it in his field. Verse 32. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Apparently, a mustard seed can grow between 6 and 12 feet. And Jesus is saying, his kingdom is like this. All of the parables illustrate the kingdom of God. Verse 31. It didn't look impressive when Jesus hung naked on the cross. But now, all over the world, from every social strata, people are following Christ. Now let's apply this to Christchurch. We've been going for 15 and a half years. We've been plugging away, preaching the gospel, doing evangelism. There certainly have been conversions. There have been about 50 plus baptisms in my time here. And I've been here for getting on for 9 years. That's wonderful. And we give all the thanks to God and all the glory to God. But some of us went on to Baldock High Street recently and tried to engage people in conversation about Jesus. The vast majority were not interested. Think of all the conversations you've had with non-Christians. Think of the people you pray for. Think of your Christian group in work, perhaps. Think of all the efforts you've made with your neighbours or your sports club. What are the returns like? It's very slow work. We've been sharing the gospel with a group of parents we've met through our children's school and after-school clubs. It's a great opportunity to talk about Jesus when you're watching your son play cricket or watching your daughter do gymnastics. I haven't kept a record, but I think maybe 10 families have come to a service at Christchurch in nearly 9 years. They've mostly come once, mostly to Christmas services. None of them have stuck. One family almost stuck with us. One of the mums does come to Monday group. It's very slow work. But Jesus is saying we mustn't be discouraged. It seems painfully slow now, but in eternity, we will see this great mustard tree. And all of those we've collectively won for Christ will be there. And we will rejoice. So there's the mustard seed. Secondly, the parable of the yeast, or the unexpected spread of the kingdom. Verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms or 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. We have a bread machine. It's fantastic. Every morning we come down to the smell of freshly baking bread. We bought it in the YMCA charity shop for £20. We're big fans of charity shops. And this bread machine has been a great buy. I must confess, I've never actually used the bread machine myself. It is Becca who puts all the ingredients into the machine. So I'm talking from a position of total bread ignorance. But even I get the point. The lady in the parable mixes the yeast, presumably a reserved starter from the previous batch of dough. This is mixed into a large quantity of flour. 30 kilograms, 60 pounds. That's a lot of flour. I'm about 78 kilograms. So 30 kilograms is the weight of a child. This is a lot of flour. But the point is, she mixes the yeast all through the dough. The point is similar to the mustard seed. The yeast is unseen, and yet it spreads through the dough. It has a great effect. It makes the bread rise. I went to Eastern Europe several times when I was much younger. Things have improved a lot since I was there, but sometimes we struggled with the living conditions. I remember staying at a fairly dirty house. The bed was a bit smelly, and the lavatory was at the bottom of the garden. And it wasn't a flush toilet, and there was no light, and I was fairly sure there were rats. I wasn't particularly happy there. And so when we were out and about, if we saw McDonald's, we went there. Because although it's not the healthiest option, we knew that McDonald's would be the same in Romania as it was in Britain. The McDonald's brand would ensure a consistent standard. McDonald's is a bit like this yeast. It's spread all around the world. And wherever you are, it will be the same. Another great example of this would be Coca-Cola. During the first year, sales of Coca-Cola averaged 9 drinks a day, adding up to a total sales for that year of $50. Today, products of the Coca-Cola company are consumed at the rate of more than 1.8 billion drinks per day. The brand has spread all over the world. Again, we were somewhere like Romania, and Becca was staying with a young couple. They had no money. They had no furniture. They served Becca and the girls with her mashed potato piped onto a plate with ketchup on top. That was it. No protein. And they had no food for themselves. They just watched Becca and our friends eat. But poor as they were, they served Coca-Cola. They had one can of Coke, and I think they shared it between 3 or 4 girls. Coca-Cola couldn't be more widely spread. It's drunk in abundance by the richest. It's also drunk by the very poorest. And the yeast is like that. It gets everywhere. We can't see the yeast spreading through the dough. But as we live for Christ, the teaching of the gospel spreads through the world. Actually, far more effectively than the spread of McDonald's or Coca-Cola. Remember what the Apostle John saw in Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language. Won't it be a wonderful day? It will. We were recently at Word Alive, and you get to praise God with, by British standards, a very great multitude. And it's exciting. But how much more exciting on that final day to be with all God's people from all over the world, to see how the mustard seed has developed into a mighty tree, to see how the yeast of Christianity has spread into every community on the globe. I'm looking forward to that day. And that brings us, thirdly, to the purpose of the parables, or God's control over history. Verse 34. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is a quote from Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 2. And Jesus fulfills it. He is the one who can reveal God's truth through parables. He is God. We should listen to him. So there's one very important application of this. Jesus fulfills Psalm 78, verse 2. He is God. We should listen to him. But Psalm 78 interprets the great spread of Jewish history from the Exodus to the reign of David. When it uses the word parable, it means that it is explaining the puzzle of history. A parable is not just a story. It can mean a riddle or a puzzle. So history is interpreted. God can give the definitive interpretation of history. He can do that because he stands outside of time and he knows the end from the beginning. We are living through history, aren't we? It's happening right now. We struggle to make sense of it, but God doesn't. God can explain the parable of history. He can explain hidden things, things from of old, from the creation of the world. And God is saying to us, he knows the end from the beginning. God knows that one day we will stand before him and he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And he will reveal to us how the mustard seed has developed, how the yeast has spread. He will show us who became a Christian through our efforts. He will show us how Holiday Club led to conversions. He will show us how body and soul has led to people being saved. He will show us what was really going on in school assemblies. There were some listening. He will show us who read their Gideon New Testament and was saved through it. Think of your family. Is it tough? Well, keep sharing Christ with them. Keep praying for them. Because the mustard seed is developing. The yeast is spreading. Think of your neighbors. Keep chatting to them. Keep chatting the gospel. Think of your work colleagues. Keep standing for Christ in work. Keep serving in the church. It is worth it. It is worth it. You know, the media isn't really interested in Christianity. It never gets us. Most of the vicars you come across in the media are either completely liberal, they've stopped believing the Bible, or they're child abusers, or they're just idiots. Very rarely will the growth of Christianity be reflected in the media. Do you know about the dramatic growth in church attendance in London? It's massive over the last 20 years. You don't see that on the 10 o'clock news very often. All we hear is that congregations are dwindling and so on. The great themes of history seem to be the story of the powerful, the rise and fall of empires. But in eternity, the kingdom of God will be the great empire, which never falls, never declines, never dies. And we'll be there. Revelation 11, verse 5. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. which kingdom are you living for? The kingdoms of this world or the kingdom of the mustard seed? The kingdom of the yeast? The kingdom of God? Is that what you're living for? If you are, you won't be disappointed. It won't be easy now. It'll be tough now. But in eternity, you will be so glad and you will rejoice. Ben, is there a plan for someone to come and lead in prayer? No, I'll pray. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we all get discouraged quite easily. And so we thank you so much that your kingdom is growing and spreading. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Muslim world. Thank you for what you're doing in China. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in London. Thank you for all those churches being planted and growing. Thank you that many churches are being planted around the UK. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you all the glory for this. And we pray that you'd help us to serve you. Help us to live for the kingdom of God. Help us to live for eternity. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray that we would see fruit. We pray that we would see souls being saved. Lord, please would you bless every aspect of the church's life, all the different groups, all the outreach of individuals. Lord, we cry out to you to have mercy and to save. Lord, we think of family members represented here today, children, parents, siblings. Please would you save, Lord. Please would there be a good number being baptized on July the 3rd. And please would that be a great occasion where your gospel is preached with much power. We pray particularly tonight for those who are struggling, those who are unwell, those who are recently bereaved. And we pray that the knowledge that your kingdom is growing will be a great encouragement to them. We pray to you, Lord, for our country. As we face this referendum, Lord, would your will be done? We pray, Lord, for the outcome which best facilitates the spread of the gospel, the spread of the yeast. Please do give us that for Europe, which is such a spiritually barren country. Please, Lord, would the gospel's yeast spread across Europe so that many, many are saved. So, Father, we thank you for your sovereignty over all things, your control over all things. And we commit ourselves to you, our church, our society. And we pray that your kingdom will come and that your name will be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.